वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 1, entitled Questions by Vidura, text 28.
Kachit Varuta Dipatir Yadunam Prajum Naste Sukamam Gavira Yam Rukmini Bhagavato Bilebe Arabhya Vipram Smaramadhi Sarge Kachit Paruta Dipati Yadunam Prajum Naste Sugamam Gavira Yam Rukmini Bhagavato Bilebe Arajya Vipram Smaramadhi Sarge Kachit Varuta Dipati Yadunam Rajum Naraste Sugamam Gavira Yam Rukmini Bhagavato Bilebe Arajya Vipram Smaramadhi Sarge
Thank you.
Parichit.
Parichit.
Weather.
Weather.
Vayuta.
Of the military.
Adipati.
Adipati.
Commander-in-chief.
Commander-in-chief.
Yadunam.
Yadunam.
Of the Yadus.
Of the Yadus.
Pradyumna.
Pradyumna.
The son of Krishna named Pradyumna. Asti is sukham, happy. Anga, O Udava. Viraha, the great warrior. Yam,
whom?
Rukmini, the wife of Krishna named Rukmini.
Bhagavata,
from the personality of Godhead.
Amileve.
God is a prize.
Aradya.
Pleasing. Vipran. Brahmanas.
Smaram.
Cupid. Kamadev. Adi Sarge, in his previous life. Translation. O Uddhava, please tell me, how is Pradyumna, the commander-in-chief of the Yadus, who was Cupid in a former life? Rukmini bore him as her son from Lord Krishna by the grace of Brahmanas whom she pleased. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Smara, Cupid or Kamadev, is one of the eternal associates of Lord Krishna. Jiva Goswami has explained this very elaborately in his treatise, Krishna Sandarbha. So I had a look at the Krishna Sandarbha, because I was thinking, well, there's not much explanation here. And in the Krishna Sandarbha, basically Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in a previous life, Cupid appeared before Lord Shiva and tried to tempt Lord Shiva and shoot his arrows at Lord Shiva, which angered Lord Shiva. And subsequently, he was burnt to ashes by the glance that came from Lord Shiva. So then, that same personality appeared again as the son of Rukmini. And that is the Pradyumna that was that's being referred to. So that Pradyumna is the demigod Pradyumna, the demigod Kamadev or Cupid, who is under Indra. It said, but that Pradyumna, when he burned up, he became one with the Pradyumna, who is one member of the Chaturvyuha. He sort of entered into the Chaturvyuha as he left his body, and in the original Pradyumna. And from that original Pradyumna, he expanded himself again, and became the son of Rukmini. So he was invested, as expanded from Pradyumna, he was invested with the qualities of the original Pradyumna, and thus he was a special personality, but still he was the demigod. Then later, his son became Aniruddha, and that Aniruddha is described to be the original, eternal Aniruddha, the member of the Chaturvyuha. So much for the Krishna Sandarbha. It's interesting and yet also complicated. Pradyumna is one of the, that is the eternal Pradyumna, the member of the Chaturvyuha, is one of the
eternal associates of the Lord, who assist the Lord in his in taking care of the material arrangements. Like Pradyumna is the presiding deity of intelligence, which arises from the mode of passion, and Aniruddha is the presiding deity from the mode of from the mind, which arises from the mode of goodness. So these are all like the wonderful ways in which the Lord is intimately connected through the universe and through the material energy, and how he himself is always absorbed in his transcendental activities as Parameshwar, as the supreme controller and enjoyer, as Bhaktaram. And thus Lord Krishna, as it said, Vrindavanam Parityaya Mam Ekam Adigacchati, that Mam Ekam Padam Adigacchati, that Lord Krishna never takes one step away from Vrindavan. Lord Krishna is always absorbed in his eternal pleasure pastimes. But then through his various expansions, the Lord is becoming involved with the material energy. Although he also remains always unaffected as he is interacting with the material energy. But it is interesting because it is indicating in various ways how the material energy is coming forth out of Krishna, and how it is also Krishna's energy. It always reminds me of the conversation between Srila Prabhupada and Allen Ginsberg, where Allen Ginsberg raised the point that in some of the principal religions of the world, they are not allowing to have any form of God made. And the reason is that how would it be possible to capture spirit into matter? And thus they have problems with deity's form. And Prabhupada immediately replied. He said, actually, matter doesn't exist. It's all spiritual. Finished. There was no more debate even before the takeoff, so to speak, already Prabhupada resolved the matter. And everything is spiritual in origin. So the distinction between spirit and matter is made only to speak of eternal manifestation and temporary manifestation. But everything is originating in Krishna. Everything is spiritual. And thus, Krishna is all-pervading in all regards. Well, that is one point in detail about Pradyumna, with the help of Jiva Goswami. The fact that Pradyumna, his name is being raised, is here that he is one of the dearmost associates of the Lord. And here, Vidura is remembering the dearmost associates of the Lord, and upon meeting Uddhava, is asking about them. It is mentioned in a few verses earlier on that actually this meeting with Uddhava takes place after the incident at Prabhas Kshetra, where the Yadus became intoxicated and fought amongst each other and actually killed each other in this battle, because the story is there that Samba had gone. He was a descendant of the Yadus, a boy who had gone before the sages dressed in a sari and with a false belly under the sari, and some of the boys had joked with the sages and asked,
what would be the nature of the child that was to be born. So the sages didn't appreciate it, and the sages cursed Samba that he would give birth to a lump of iron that would become the cause of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. Well, they were very shocked, and Samba indeed gave birth to a lump of iron. And there was a lump of iron, so they sort of sheepishly brought that lump of iron to Maharaj Ugrasena and explained the situation. King was shaking his head. What to do? So the king decided to have this iron filed into powder. And this powder, because he was thinking about it, and I guess he consulted also, he's thinking, well, if there's any piece left, it may form a weapon. But if it's powder, and then that is probably the finest we can make it, and then we distribute the pieces everywhere. So in that way, it will be of the least harm. If it's a lump as a whole, it can kill. If a piece of it can kill, so the best will be powder. That will be the best. So they did, and they threw the powder in the ocean with the idea that it will spread out very widely. But somehow or other, that powder washed ashore and entered into the rivers and came into reeds. And when the Yadus became intoxicated, they started beating each other with the reed. But because the iron had entered, it had turned into deadly weapons. And in this way, the Yadus unintentionally actually killed each other while they were like somewhat intoxicated. Maybe a lot, I don't know. They killed each other like this. This was Krishna's arrangement to remove the Yadu dynasty from this planet before his personal departure from the planet. Because the Yadus were A, very powerful, and without Krishna would become a burden to the world, and B, they were also some were eternal associates of the Supreme Lord, and some were various demigods who had appeared all upon the order of Krishna in this world. And it was time for them to take again their original positions. That is to say, the demigods and the eternal associates of the Lord were accompanying the Lord to the next destination, where the Lord also was performing his pastimes. So it is mentioned that all these personalities that Vidura is asking about had actually been killed in that incident in Prabhas Kshetra, and that Vidura knew about it, but somehow or other Vidura was still asking Uddhava. So that's sort of bewildering. How is it possible? But it is said that it was a psychological thing, Jiva Goswami states, that somehow or other the shock was so great that Vidura's mind didn't want to accept it, and he was just still asking, which is again amazing. And especially because Vidura is such a Krishna conscious person, so very transcendental. This time I read the chapter because I was sort of trying to remember exactly why Vidura was asking about these family members, and that's why I checked it out. And then as I was reading, then the chapter begins with Vidura speaking to Dhritarashtra and explaining to Dhritarashtra that his son is Duryodhana, right, is not at all worthy of support because he's envious of Krishna, and that is his total disqualification. So we see that Vidura is measuring, you know, the qualifications of a person by how much he is devoted to Krishna. So Vidura is seeing everything in the context of Krishna. So where does this excessive family attachment come from? Isn't it a bit, everyone has to die, so why couldn't Vidura just accept it? Why was he philosophically, so extreme that he mentally blocked it out? And he wouldn't accept it. I mean, that's a very heavy sign of attachment. Of course, we must look upon it also as a transcendental attachment, because these are the associates of Krishna. It is unbearable when the associates of Krishna are leaving this planet. We're seeing some sentiments of great grief in, for example, in the example of Narottam and Srinivas. Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas, who appeared very late after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but who still had the association of some of the Goswamis, and who just missed some others, and the whole their biography is just full of just missing one of the Goswamis. They arrive and he is just left, so it's like kind of it's too much, and then each time they are plunging into an ocean of distress, missing the meeting of these wonderful personalities. So, in this light, we can see how Vidura, thinking that, how can I live without the association of all these wonderful devotees? In Mayapur, we had our, from Holland, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who's an artist who sings songs and who wrote a song about the last disciple of Prabhupada on earth, right? And he was singing this song that he's then the last Prabhupada disciple on earth. And he started saying, why me? Why me, Krishna? Why me? I am totally not qualified. It's like, it's a disgrace almost, like that I'm now representing the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. It never was really a very good one. And how is this now? And he feels this incredible separation and simultaneously this sense of responsibility that by fate, somehow or other, he's the last representative. And it's a very interesting song. It's an interesting thought, the last Prabhupada disciple on earth. That must be something.
Something.
Yes. And of course that day will come. That's coming closer. So Vidura and Uddhava, they were also sort of like the last ones left over. After everyone left, after Krishna left, after all the associates of Krishna left, and somehow or other, Vidura was still there, and Uddhava was still there. And Uddhava, he had met Krishna at a very late stage, and he had heard so many things from Krishna. And Krishna had said to Uddhava, who wanted to go back, who also wanted to follow Krishna, Uddhava knew that soon Krishna would leave the planet, and Uddhava had no desire to stay. But Krishna said, no, you should stay, because I've instructed you in all these things, and now you should just be the protector of this knowledge. You should be like the representative of all this knowledge now. And then all that knowledge was available to Vidura. So in this way, Vidura sort of felt like Krishna has, he thought of me, right? He thought of me. That's what the thought that crossed Vidura's mind. He thought, Krishna, he actually thought of me. He knew that I would meet Uddhava, and thus he arranged that Uddhava would stay and that I would get the opportunity to also hear all these things, and that would alleviate my separation. It wasn't that Vidura was missing some essential knowledge. Right? It wasn't that Vidura was, in one sense, Vidura's knowledge was complete, because Vidura completely understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that the living being is his eternal servant. So in that way, Vidura didn't necessarily need to know that the answers to those questions that Uddhava had asked Krishna. But they were answers from Krishna. So it was as if it was Krishna speaking through Uddhava. It was just Uddhava was remembering everything Krishna said. Just all that remembering, it was just nectar. It was just giving him life. It was giving Vidura some new cause of life. So this whole chapter with the exchange is a chapter dealing with separation, which is so essential in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how within this separation the emotions, the attachment to Lord Krishna is increasing so much, and thus that at that time the experience of love of God is even deeper. So we must see this chapter in that context, in the context of separation of Krishna. Love. Vidura, after all, is an extraordinary devotee. It is said that when Krishna was staying with the Pandavas in Hastinapur, this is before the Battle of Kurukshetra, and when they were trying to avoid the fight, that Krishna went as a messenger. So Duryodhana was thinking, well, you know, let me see. Krishna, of course, is a key person. Let me try and get him on my side. So Duryodhana, when he heard that Krishna was coming, he made arrangements to build an amazing palace just for Krishna to stay. And he decorated that palace and made it very, very nice. And then it's like he had like super opulent arrangements and special cooks and so on. It was like exquisite. Right? And Krishna said, when Duryodhana invited him to stay there, then Krishna said, no, according to etiquette, a messenger should not accept any gifts from the person he is approaching and bringing the messenger to until he knows the outcome of the message. So Duryodhana said, no, but this is different. This is different. We are family members. So just as a family member, you can accept it and just be close. And Krishna said, we are family members. He said, I will never eat with you, never sit with you, never accept anything from you, because you are envious of the Pandavas, who are my dear devotees. Duryodhana was a little bit taken aback, you know, by this strong kind of reaction. He hadn't expected that, you know, that Krishna would come out so violently, in a way, speaking so violently. And then Krishna left. And he went to Vidura, right, of all people, you know, who had been, so as a further sort of insult, because at that time Vidura hadn't left the palace yet, but Vidura was like, anyway, a thorn in the side of Duryodhana, because he was very partial to the Pandavas, so
there was already a lot of irritation in Duryodhana against Vidura. And then Krishna went to his house, and there were no arrangements at all. No arrangements at all. But Vidura was so ecstatic, and all he had in the house was bananas, and he became so overwhelmed in ecstasy that he made a mistake and gave him the peels instead of the bananas. And Krishna just gracefully accepted the peels and ate those peels. Very nice. And only afterwards Vidura realized why it happened. And when he saw the remnants, and the peels were gone, and he realized, oh my God, I gave him the peels. Krishna ate those peels. So, this is Vidura. What a devotee. What a devotee. So there's no question that Vidura is like a devotee who's serving Krishna according to regulated principles. Vidura is serving Krishna in great ecstatic love. That is Vidura. Devotee full of ecstatic love. So this whole chapter is full of ecstatic love. The questions are full of ecstatic love. That is the motivation in this whole chapter. Can you imagine Vidura for so long? Unusual fruit. Yes. Vidura is he left the palace. After Duryodhana insulted him, said like, you know, why are we, when Vidura had said that that Duryodhana was not qualified, that he was not qualified, and why did Dhritarashtra favor him so much when he was envious of Krishna? Why favor such a son? Then Duryodhana became very upset. He started hissing like a snake. He became overwhelmed with envy and said, who is this son of a cat mistress anyway to speak? To even stay here in this palace? What is he doing here in this palace? Why are we tolerating him? And that's what he basically said. So that was the point where Vidura put his bow in the doorway and left. Then I read in Bhurijan's Bhagavatam study book, Unveiling His Lotus Feet, that Vidura's pilgrimage lasted about 30 years. 30 years, so it's a very long period of time. 30 years, right? You can imagine, 30 years. From a young man, he turned old. So 30 years, Vidura was just traveling to different places of pilgrimage. 30 years, he was just, and he left the palace for 30 years. He was basically in separation. So thus, we can understand how deep Vidura was just remembering how amazing all these personalities are, so intimately related to Lord Krishna, how amazing they were, what wonderful devotees they were, and so on. And through them, through their devotion, he was remembering Krishna. Because a devotee is remembering Krishna, his own devotion and attachment is enriched by the association of other devotees and their devotion to Krishna. The devotion, every devotee has unique qualities, unique dedication, something extraordinary. We see that in every devotee, that they have in something, some service, they really embrace it, and they get into it, and they just make a lot out of that, and then they
they excel in that. Right? So everyone excels in something, every devotee. And thus every devotee in his service to Krishna is bringing out some aspect of Krishna. Krishna is receiving that service. Krishna is reciprocating with that service. And it is the way that Krishna is pleased. And thus through the devotees we realize how Krishna can be pleased in so many ways. And we are so much enriched in our understanding of Krishna through the devotees. A relationship with a devotee is always, Krishna is always part of that relationship. Thus, the guru was greatly enriched by the association with all these devotees. Vasudev, now Prajumna, and many, many more personalities he will remember in the upcoming verses. And in the same way, we also are enriched. By Srila Prabhupada's disciples, and then enriched by his followers, the next generations. Somehow or other, we are greatly enriched. That statement came actually from, was recently made by Toshan Krishna Prabhu, who wrote a letter like that after the departure of Sadaputta Prabhu and also Sundarupa Prabhu, who were both like disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who made substantial contributions in Prabhupada's service. And then Toshan wrote it, who is a very senior disciple from Srila Prabhupada because he joined in 67 in San Francisco. So he wrote this nice letter appreciating this, how much said, they have enriched my life. Yes, they've enriched my life. And if we think about that, you know, of each other, like in this way, how we, how the devotees are enriching our life, how they have really given us a valuable gift, in their attachment to Krishna, in their attachment to Prabhupada, in their endeavors, in their service. Like the other day, we mentioned about Sadaputta, and I'll say that again, because now somewhere here we're not there then. But that Sadaputta, besides being a genius, right, which undoubtedly he was, and in terms of science and some of his books, he wrote a few books on cosmology, and in one of these, it's all mathematics. I'm just looking at it like, alright, I don't even know what the symbols mean, I see these formulas with a symbol and a sort of, okay, don't know, I can't even read it, speak of, try and understand it. So, very, a great scientist, a very creative thinker in science, many interesting articles he also wrote. It just comes to mind this little article about how they had captured the personality of a person in a computer, and they had they made a replica of his whole thought pattern and everything in a computer. And after the man was dead and gone, he sort of continued to exist in a computer. And that's how the story started. And then, of course, he cuts that to pieces, and how the so-called artificial intelligence of a computer is not at all intelligence, but just programmed reactions, and how it's impossible, and so on. But there are plenty of people who are like reveling at the amazing intellectual power of a computer. So in he was responding in a creative way to something that lives out there, some things that live out there. So this way, not only a brilliant scientist, but also a dedicated preacher, and always dedicated to preach Krishna consciousness strongly to science. But what strikes me as his devotional quality is his integrity. A person with very high integrity would be very faithful to Srila Prabhupada, would never make statements without being very Torah that it would be in line with Prabhupada, you know, not like. And yet he had to, on a scientific platform, sometimes explore and speculate, because in science you have to investigate different options, but very careful and trying to be very chaste to Srila Prabhupada, and thus a person of very high personal integrity throughout. Remembering that integrity, I feel encouraged, right, to overcome my lower nature, because, I might just by my own, by whatever amount of piety I might have accrued, not have so much that level of integrity about details. I don't care sometimes. But when I see someone like Saraputi, he reminds me, no, I'm coming this morning. You must be strict. You must be a very serious representative, because if you take a position of authority, whatever you say carries a lot of weight. So thus it is very important that you speak out correctly. And Saraputa was very much conscious of that, of his position of authority, and had great integrity in that. So in this way, we just as an example, how someone enriches our life. We can go on and on. Sometimes we have these sessions where we glorify the Vaishnavas. In Radhavesh, they started that after the marathon, glorify everything that moves festival, I would call it, you know. And it goes on for 6 hours, right? 6 hours of glory, if you can sit through it. It's quite something. In recent years, I went a few times, but it got too much for me. Although I appreciate the glorification, the sit was just too long physically. I was like, this is getting a marathon. It's too extreme. But it was very nice also, very nice to hear the glories of everyone, of even the devotee that comes on the Blue Monday, you know, and just does a little service, even that devotee. Everyone is glorified. And they found someone. They didn't just glorify randomly, you know, to say something. But they found someone who knew the devotee and who really appreciated, who genuinely appreciated some of the glories. And in this way, it was very interesting. I also was in a retreat some years ago with some devotees, and then the organizers had arranged it that everyone should just speak to his neighbor, and that they should really introduce themselves to each other. Of course, many knew them, knew each other for like 20, 30 years, didn't matter. Still, they introduced themselves to each other, and it was interesting because they got to know many details that they never knew about someone that they knew for many years, right? Yes. And then there were two, they found out they went to the same school and even had the same teacher and this, that, and it was a whole thing, you know, it's like, yeah. And then
they had to, some people were asked to come forward and introduce the other person, you know, and that just, that was very nice. It was like everyone got to know each other a little more and appreciate each other a little more. So, I think that would be my last point, how Vidura was enriched by all the Vaishnavas. And thus, if we look at each other like that, that we are enriched by each other's association, I think then, if we just look at what someone spiritually has contributed in our life, then, that is the lasting thing. I'm thinking that sometimes, in the course of my service, I had a few clashes with devotees, and that started already straight away. In my first week, they made me the manager of the restaurant in Vrindavan, and we used to serve on the tables, and then there was this Italian bhakta who used to serve, you know, and just sort of take the prep and then just, well, I used the word splooch it onto the plate, you know. It's just a graphic word, so you get the idea. And of course, it would, yellow drops would be found on the clothes of the customers. So, as the newly appointed manager, I felt it was my duty, my Krishna conscious duty, to Srila Prabhupada, to tell him that Prabhu, this is off, right? And he let me know in fluent Italian that he didn't appreciate the way that I was correcting him. So, and we may have so many encounters over the years, you know, with people from those more primitive, unpleasant exchanges to sometimes more sophisticated ones, where we just don't like how someone deals with us in a meeting, just that. But if we leave all that aside, and if we just meditate for one moment on how each person, even the ones that we had a little friction with, has actually enriched our lives spiritually, I think that's where Toshan Krishna's statement is coming from. It was above the differences of this world. It was really unlike, for a moment, looking at the transcendental platform rising above the everyday level. And that is how Vidura saw. Okay, maybe some comments, some questions. All right.
Well, I think the beginning, I just presume here the verse that is. That the Prajuna of the Shatavyuva is Shachi Kataras, and that one of your Raja and the connected Raja, and then it's Anuruddha sustained Shachi of the mind, and that's one of the Satya.
Yeah.
And that's so well, what use we get.
These things would be the other way around.
What is this mind use we always get used to be the mind of the spirit?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so the mind is born out of sattva guna. The energy mind is born out of sattva guna. But when that energy becomes misdirected, then it begins to reflect the lower modes of nature. And but the mind is in principle meant to be like a receptacle for meditation on Krishna and for collecting impressions about Krishna. And thus, when that is happening, then the mind indeed is very, a very important tool, because the mind is like a reservoir full of rich impressions, whereas the intelligence is just a tool. Yeah? It's just a tool. It's just the knife and fork, right, for cutting things to pieces, by which we handle and prepare, okay, cut, and then it's to the mind. So it's just a processor. It's just a tool which grinds up, digests things, or pre-digests things so that they are suitable for the mind to start responding. That's all the intelligence is really doing. So in that way, the intelligence itself is in an assisting position to the mind. Yeah. And although it is a higher energy, but that is in the material sense, that it's in a higher energy. In the material sense, yes, we must take shelter of intelligence, and thus we have a culture which is based on rationalism, right? And sentiment is sort of just like, you know, low class sentiment. You can't rely on it, and it's just, you know, just carried away by sentiment. And sometimes women are especially singled out as sentimental, but on the spiritual platform, it's reversed. Right? The sentiment is considered the highest. It is actually higher than reason. Reason is simply there to enhance the sentiment, but it is about rasa. It is about the relationship. It is about thinking, feeling, and willing, all in relation to Krishna. Thus, actually, the mind is coming from a higher origin. But because we are in a perverted condition, the mind is now functioning in a perverted way and coming very much under the influence of ignorance. No, it is stated that as the different energies are manifesting, that from gross to subtle, that there is no form yet within mind. Mind in itself has no form. Form manifests in the gross material energies. But within mind, mind is like a mirror. Yeah. It is sometimes, it's like a mirror. So the mirror can show form, just like on mental energy you can, there are still pirates walking around from 400 years ago with a wooden leg and a hook for an arm and a black thing on their eye, and like that, who have been walking around on mental energy for 400 years and display form. But that is simply a reflection. So that's not the mind itself, that's just the reflection of the material energy, of the grosser energy that has form. So the mind is like a mirror that's reflecting. And it's meant to reflect Krishna. So in the mirror of the mind, we should just see Krishna. And it's then that the mind. Yeah, the mind can reflect form. Not the mind doesn't create, the mind reflects.
Sometimes when you're walking,
Yeah, sometimes we meet as devotees and we just talk about health and other social things, and not enough about Krishna. And yeah, that's true. Sometimes you feel some lacking there. I feel that sometimes. And, I've been doing a lot of research about Lord Chaitanya and working on that, and then I was some months ago in Switzerland, and then I showed it to Satchinanda Swami, and for like a few hours we were just talking about only that, only about Lord Chaitanya and nothing else, not about how's your health, how's your this, how's your that. And after that he said, finally some Krishna Katha. Right, so it's nice to just have Krishna Katha. On the other hand, to inquire about the health of a Vaishnava is also to be care. Also, it's also related to our that we want him to live or her to live a long time and do a lot of devotional service and give a lot of association and so on. So, the sentiment can be mixed with spiritual intentions, and in that way, it's not just always mundane. If you ask, like, how is that? But at the same time, if we talk so much, talking about health, generally speaking, it's such a thing. It's how much time can you spend with it, you know? And unless somebody is in a serious condition, okay, then it becomes a real issue. But to just always talk, how's your health, you know? I mean, somebody asked me, how's your health, you know? I mean, it's not enlightening. You don't get ecstatic about talking about someone's health or someone's diseases. So if we can talk about Krishna, we may use the time better with the Vaishnavas. So it's a higher level of quality discussion. Just talk about Krishna. And we see that the Dasarat is asking Vishwamitra Muni, say, how are you progressing in your attempt to conquer over birth and death? He's asking. He doesn't ask, how are you? How are you progressing in your attempt to conquer over birth and death? I mean, that's the asana. Good question. Straight to the core. But we cannot preserve all that we do, because we try that, you know, and then it goes away. It's like, for example, the ecstatic kirtan, and then we try to do it one more time, you know, the same ecstatic kirtan. It's not possible. It doesn't work. That one, sometimes they announce, now we're going to have an ecstatic kirtan. That one is usually not so ecstatic, you know what I mean? It just has to happen. And no, we preserve, you know, the emotions there, and then the memory of the emotion is still very fresh, and so on. So then we still, and then, you know, then gradually it becomes a somewhat remote memory, something, a nice memory, but we do not really feel it so much anymore. But we remember the source. So rather than the emotion, we look at the source. Where did we get it? We got it in serving Krishna in a particular way. Okay, let's try again to serve Krishna and see what happens. So in this way, we can look at the source of these experiences and it can come back again and again. Yeah. So the focus is on the service. That's also more important, because the emotion, an ecstatic emotional experience, is a gift of Krishna. He gives us, it's a gift of Krishna. That he was pleased with our surrender, with our service. So let's try and please him again in a similar way. Then we'll taste it again, but in a different way.
dedicate many things to our friends. And of course there are certain scriptural things we can sponsor a feast to the Vaishnavas, that is a scriptural reference of what to do with a deceased person, to invoke the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So we can do such things. We can definitely pray, and yes, we can. I guess you can even chant rounds for others, to share the benefit. If you pray for the benefit of a particular person, this round dedicated to that person, you'll get some benefit of it. Not imaginary. No, we can do things to bless. In one way, it is also automatic. Yeah. Anybody who had a connection with us gets blessed. Anyone, any stranger you ever met gets blessed. Especially those who were a little bit favorably inclined, more blessed. But everyone is blessed, just the very fact that we've become swept up in this movement, and so it's not our credit, but here we are now, sitting in the tilak and everything. All the kids who were with you in the same class, the whole class is blessed. Just that one kid you came and brought you, that class gets some special blessings, and so on. Those who helped you, even in your material life, they get blessed more. So the position of Vaishnava is very potent, and the blessings that come from the Vaishnava position are just amazing.
If we try to
become
like
Yeah, by just analyzing the mind, it is very difficult to find Krishna. It says, Pantastukoti satavatsarasam pragyanyu vayuratapi manasu munipungaram. Manaso is referring to the mind and is speaking to yogis who, by their discipline, are trying to control the powers of the mind. Said that they can barely touch the tip of the toe of Krishna by doing this for millions of years. So it's not a recommended process, but we purify the mind by chanting Hare Krishna in devotional service. So thus we look for purification of the mind, and somehow or other serve the deity, serve the devotees, serve the acharyas, chant Hare Krishna, and then our mind becomes automatically purified and attached to Krishna, and everything becomes clear, and then the influence of the lower modes of material nature disappears, and we become free from material suffering.
Means
this mind is an energy of the material nature. Yes. Yeah.
And if I purify this mind can be
another aspect of God. Yes. Yes. It starts to reflect on. So the mind is just like the wind that carries different fragrances. If it blows over the sewage, there's a bad smell. If it blows over the bed of roses, there's a good smell. If the mind is thus always taking up impressions about Krishna and about serving Krishna, then the mind will be full of thoughts of Krishna and will be completely transcendental. It will be a great source of pleasure. Then you'll dream about Krishna, think about Krishna, and you'll naturally become peaceful and happy and free from suffering. But in the conditioned state, Adi Atmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika, Adi Atmika, suffering from body and mind, suffering from other living beings, Anubhava is suffering from the Deva's natural circumstance. So now our mind is giving us pleasure and pain. What to do? Chanting Hare Krishna. Vishnu was on the side of Duryodhana by some arrangement of Krishna, and ultimately so that he could fight with Krishna because he had this desire. So he had to be on that side by some arrangement. So officially he was on the side of the Kurus because he had been there his whole life and it was his family. So officially he didn't turn away from the family, but at the same time he always favored the Pandavas, always. And he was always a devotee, and that became very clear. But then, of course, that last moment where he made Krishna break the vow and Krishna lifted the veil, and that Bhishma really enjoyed. And he was thinking, huh? Blessed by his father, he was. Yes, he was blessed by his father. Yes. Blessed by his father, leave the body according to the wish. There's a very, amazing personality. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.